time, and we need to get started. And so hallelujah. Thank you for everybody joining us. We celebrate that the Lord's alive, that this is Resurrection Sunday. And may I say that it's great to celebrate resurrection. It's so great, and it's such an anchor and a foundation for us. We celebrate resurrection every day, all year long. And, you know, I question sometimes, well, when was Jesus born? Was he really born? You know what? We celebrate the birth of Christ every day, all year long. And it's the same with the crucifixion, the resurrection, the birth of Jesus. He's worthy of our celebration. And when we keep those anchors, it helps us stay strong when storms come. And so I want to tell you, resurrection is a great anchor. Crucifixion, it's the finished works of Jesus, why we're able to even do what we do and be who we are. And so we're going to jump right into that. And one of the ways that I've described that, and you received it in your newsletter, those of you online did not, but we've handed everybody a passport this morning. And what I want to present to you is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is your passport in the kingdom of God. To go where no man's gone before. Amen. You can't tell what I watched on TV this week. To go where no man's gone before. To be what you've never been, but what he is. To do what you've never done, but what he's done, and even greater things. Let's all say greater things. Well, resurrection is your passport. It's your receipt. It's your living proof for all that he is and all that he has for you. It's your guarantee. It's your proof of citizenship in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we could just say amen and go home, but I got more to say about it. And so thank you for staying with me. You know, when I was questioned by, we minister to pastors, and there was a few of them that said, I just don't get it with the passport thing. Where are you going with that, Pastor? And I said, well, let me give you a little history. King Henry V, great warrior king of England. That's how he's known, the great warrior king of England. Secular history says he started the passport. And so he put in action what the passport is, what you even know it today, how it's even used today. He got the big start on that. Now, that's secular history. Now, Bible history goes further than that. Now, there is a lot of history in Bible. We don't emphasize the history. We emphasize the Jesus in the Bible. Yeah. And so we tell people, you know, there's a lot of historical facts. There's good educational facts in the Bible. But that's not the most important. All right? The high priority in this Bible is to see Jesus. And we're going to see a sample of that, especially if you listen fast enough. We're going to see how the little couple on the Emmaus Road, how that Jesus showed them himself in the Bible, all through the Old Testament, walk them through it to see Jesus. And there's a preference for that. And so we're going to take a good look at that, but it's important that you see Jesus. But in the Bible history, we find that, you know, Nehemiah in 450 B.C., now that's a long time before the 5th, okay? King Henry V, long time before him. It reads, and this is in Nehemiah 2, I think it is, that Nehemiah had travel permit from King Art. Now, that's what I call him. I can't say his full name. I feel sorry for all those that had to. But they had to practice. But King Art in 450 B.C. gave Nehemiah royal travel permit. Somebody say passport. Okay. Gave him a travel permit to travel and to do what he needed to do and be who he needed to be. And so there, and just to show you that resurrection is such a foundation to what we believe, and it's not just to be celebrated one day a year, is that there are 13 sermons in the book of Acts that the apostles, the disciples preached. 13 sermons. 11 of them included the resurrection. That ought to say something. And so, man, when we talk about resurrection, when we talk about crucifixion, it ought to be a normal part of what we present. Because it makes a heaven of a lot of difference. Amen. And so, really and truly, even in Romans 10, and this is 9 and 10, it talks about, and sometimes it's referred to as the sinner's prayer, or how to pray to receive Christ. But it says, is that if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, that's important, And in your heart, you believe, you trust in, you rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead. Somebody say resurrection. Okay, that's a part of even the sinner's prayer. And so I want to tell you, it's a vital part of who we are and how we operate. It's our passport. And so 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. I want to tell you, and it's pointed out in this chapter, that if the resurrection didn't take place, that we are to be pitied of all people. I mean, it's vanity what we're doing. I'm telling you, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we'd be better off being somewhere else doing something else. But I'm telling you, because he rose from the dead, and let's look at the way this reads. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. And so let's look at that and go the other direction, and I think it'll simplify for you. The opposite is true. Let's look at this direction. Because Christ has resurrected, your faith is powerful, and you are completely forgiven of your sins. Somebody ought to give a shout for that. Because it wasn't by your works, it was by his works. Amen. So without resurrection, we're still in our sins. And so that's why I can boldly say, and whether every pastor says amen or not, I can boldly say that our proof, resurrection is our proof, our passport, that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, that you have birthrights as a king's kid. Boy, that's good. He says you're made part of the family of God. And as a part of the son and daughter of the living God when you receive Christ, then you have birthrights as a king's kid. Our resurrection passport enables us to enjoy all the benefits that the king won for us on the cross. Wow. It's our guarantee for all of his inheritance. Isn't that great? Because the Bible says, because of the crucifix and resurrection, we are joint heirs. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ. Man, that's good news. It's our assurance that of all authority, we have all authority, all of his authority, to conduct his business on earth in his behalf. Wow, that'll make you not want to throw this away when you get home. Because we need to remember and practice reminding ourselves and remembering. Romans 8:11 says this, the Spirit of God, somebody say the same Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, somebody say same power, lives in me. You got to say that out loud. He lives in me. Well, I hope you say it with more authority when you get through this. Because that's something you need to say on a regular basis. You need to say it. And you need to agree with it. You need to make it a part of you to the place that you have confidence in this. Because it's your confidence of resurrection that gives you holy boldness to do what he says to do, even when it looks impossible. He's the God of all possible. Okay? Look what it says he will do. And just as God raised Christ from the dead by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit power, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. I want to tell you, because he was resurrected, you'll be resurrected. I'm talking about when that day comes. Either when you pass from this life or the Lord returns, I'm telling you, you will be resurrected. And you'll have a body like his. Isn't that great to know that we'll have a body like his one day? Because I want to tell you, the Bible is specific about his resurrected body. And let me go ahead and get this out for Texans. He was still able to eat. Yeah. Yeah, he did. He ate in front of the disciples. Now, see, it's not some kind of ghostly, spooky thing. Get your mind off that direction. Because I'm telling you, when the Lord does something, he does it good. And the Bible says it will be like him. Isn't that great news? And so I want to tell you, now, wait a minute. I'll be looking good like a Papa T should. Because I want to tell you, it ain't no old in heaven. Old is a sample of the curse. I want to tell you, it's young in heaven. Wait, there's more. Forever healthy with a resurrected body. It's not something that any sickness or disease, because that was a result of the curse of sin too. There's no sickness or disease can touch. Healthy forever. Young forever. Good looking forever. Touch somebody close to them and say, there's hope for you. Amen. Because of Jesus. Now, I try to make you smile, but there's a whole lot of truth in this. And this is why that we need to get on board with the resurrection as our passport, as our guarantee, and see that it's something the Lord has done. Now, let me tell you, we have his passport not just for heaven. His passport, the resurrection, is for the here and now. It's for this life. And so we have an advantage over regular humans, over the regular human race, because we're a new creation. We're indwelt with by the supernatural, because the resurrection was supernatural and the rising of the dead of Jesus Christ was supernatural by his power that's supernatural that dwells in me. Let me announce to you, you're a supernatural being because of Jesus. Somebody say all things are possible. I'm telling you, and that's why that the church needs to reflect our King. The wife needs to reflect the husband. And I want to tell you, we need to be a supernatural church. The world needs it. Heaven's counting on it. We need to practice the passport. And so, at this time, I'm going to share with you a little scene. John 20, 6 through 8. And at this time, even though Jesus had risen from the dead, all of his followers were unbelieving believers. And I've said before, you may have heard this, I've said before, that Resurrection Day was the greatest day of unbelief ever in history. I'm telling you that because Jesus said over and over again to his disciples, it's going to happen. The third day, hey, prophecy of Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights, I'll rise up. And one of the disciples, I don't know if you remember this, Peter even got on to him for talking like that. Jesus, don't talk like that now. Jesus rebuked him. Matter of fact, he rebuked the source of that because he turned around and said, Satan, get thee behind me. Yeah. Now, I'm just telling you, he told them over and over again, but they did not catch it. Okay? They didn't catch it. And I want to tell you, that's why that we emphasize hearing the words of Christ over and over again till you catch it. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. Somebody say it. And hearing, till it resides. Now, I want to tell you, part of the problem with the unbelieving is that a lot of people say, well, Jesus resides in me, but is he presiding? Is the resident president? You see, there's a big difference there. But I want to tell you, when Jesus is president, when he's the center of your heart, center of your life, then I want to tell you, the Bible promises that all these things will be added unto you. All these things you're fussing about, worrying about, trying to cooperate, trying to earn and deserve just like the world does. When we put Jesus the center of our life and we rest in who he is and we recognize our resurrection passport, he's the one that said, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll line them up in your life. You see, that's supernatural. That's what he wants to do. He's waiting on believers to believe. Wow. So look at this, John 20, 6 through 8. Simon Peter arrived. So the women had already been to the tomb before daylight that morning. And they saw the stone was rolled away, and they didn't see him. And they come running back to tell the disciples. And Simon Peter and John took off running toward the tomb. And Simon Peter arrived. Now, John beat him there. We'll see that. But anyway, John had to put that in, you know. But it goes like this. Simon Peter arrived, and he went inside. And he also noticed that the linen wrappings were lying there. Wow. Now, I want to tell you something. There's something supernatural about that. And some of the old writers would describe how that, with the different herbs and the different things that they would put on the linen to kind of seal it, that it would kind of make like a cocoon. And so when they walked in and saw, they saw the cocoon of the wrapping, like undisturbed, without the body. And look what else it says. Boy, this is very specific. If it's specific, it has meaning. He also noted the linen wrappings lying there while the cloth had covered Jesus' head. And so it was separate. The cloth that had covered his head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who reached the tomb first, somebody say John, he saw and he believed. And so I want to tell you, he was the first man to the tomb. He wasn't the first human because the women are there first. But the first man in the disciple K race, he won. He got there first, but he was also the first disciple, man or woman, to believe in the resurrection. That's what the Bible says. And so, again, I want to say that heaven's waiting on believers that will believe. I want to tell you, when the church believes, then I want to tell you the power of the King is unleashed. Unleashed. You say, well, God can just do it. He can, but he's chosen to cooperate with the church. He wants somebody to cooperate with him, somebody to consent, somebody to agree with him. John beat Peter to the tomb, but he was the first to believe. You have to believe in the benefits of the passport. You see, there's a lot of people that have their passport because when you receive Christ, you receive your passport. It's not earned. It's not deserved. It's grace. It's part of what Jesus has done. You get the resurrection passport when you receive Christ. But a lot of people don't know they have it. Okay? Believing in your passport, the resurrection, enables you to have hope every time you need it. Enables you to have peace when every storm hits. Enables you to experience his love. I know that in this journey, everybody in this journey, I don't care what they say on the book of faith, everybody in the journey experienced some loneliness. And I want to tell you, for believers to just live a lifetime saying, I'm lonely, I want to tell you, that goes against what Jesus paid for. That goes against what he says in the Word. I'm not throwing any Bibles or any stones at anybody. I'm just saying we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live less than God's best because he's already paid for. And the resurrection is our proof that it's paid for. We can walk in faith. Walking in faith is not just for the super spiritual. There's no such thing. I don't care what they say on TV. There's no such thing as super spiritual. You know what? It's believers just like you and I. The ground is level at the cross. It doesn't matter the bank account. It don't matter your history, what you've done or haven't done, or how bad you've been. When you're believing in Jesus, I want to tell you, he made it by grace, by the price on the cross for us to receive when you believe. That's a big difference. And so, let's look at this. Notice that the head wrap was folded. Now, I can't prove this. Matter of fact, I couldn't even find it in the last couple weeks. But I had a rabbi tell me about this, and so I'm just going to share it with you. There was a custom, a Jewish custom, that whenever the master was finished with his meal, that he would wad up his napkin or his cloth, and he would just toss it down. And when the servant saw that the wrapping was, the linen was all wadded up and thrown down, they knew he was finished. It was done. It was over. They could proceed. You understand? But when they saw that the master had folded the napkin and placed it down, it meant, don't touch anything. This is a momentary departure. And what it means is, I'll be back. I'm coming back. Now, I want to tell you, I have to say this is Tim talk because this is not in the Bible. But I love the picture, and if you don't get a witness on it, just call it one of my crazy parables or illustrations because I have a number of those. But what I'm telling you is this, is that it seems to fit because I want to tell you it was folded. And the Bible points it out that it was folded, and John saw it, and it spoke to him that he would return soon. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Now remember what 1 Corinthians 15:17 said, that without his resurrection, we're still in our sins. But because of his resurrection, not only does our faith have power, but we're completely forgiven. Amen. So passport is our proof that crucifixion was victory. Because the world looked at it and saw defeat. With spiritual eyes. I want to tell you, it's the wisdom of God. Foolishness of man, but the wisdom of God. Our sins were punished on Jesus on the cross. Now, you may not like that term, but he was the sacrifice. And all of our sins, past, present, future, were punished on Jesus. Isaiah says he took all of our sin. He took our sin. He took our sin. He's not limited by time. And so I want to tell you, he took your sin at that time. He took all of our sin on the cross, and he paid for it. And the resurrection is evidence. Our receipt that it's true and that it's our passport guarantee. You see, God's a righteous judge. And he doesn't just, see, some people say, well, you know, Christianity presents that, you know, this grace thing that God just kind of winks at sin. No, never. And he's not weak towards sin. No, not ever. But what it is that Jesus, this lamb, the sacrificial lamb, paid way more than enough for your sin and my sin. So that the payment was so vast, was so incredibly vast, that you know what? It more than paid, somebody say more than paid. It more than paid for all of our sin. That's why that God, a holy God, is just to look at us through the blood of his son and say, you're forgiven. And you're accepted. And you're blessed. Not because of us, but because of his son Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, his righteousness to us is a gift satisfied by the sufferings of Jesus. Not to just, because in some places they teach this, that, you know, because we come from the nasty now and now, and Jesus paid a supreme price, and he's in the sweet by and by, that the only thing we deserve is to come to him as a slave. And I want to tell you, that's wrong presentation. Because I want to tell you, Jesus paid more than enough for us not to be accepted as a slave or even a servant. Listen to me, to be accepted as a son and daughter of the family of God. You're a king's kid. You're a prince and princess in the kingdom. That's what he paid for. When he says that we're a joint heir, that we are accepted amongst the beloved, this is what he's speaking to. He was rejected that we might forever be accepted. Now, there's another picture, how that the Mr. and Miss Disciple, and the man's name's mentioned. The woman's not. That's why that I figure it's a man and woman. And it's just tradition of that day. But Mr. and Miss Disciple on the road to Emmaus on the very day of the resurrection, and their hearts were hurting, their hearts were burdened, and they're sharing back and forth. They can't believe what's happened. Why has this happened? And Jesus meets them on the journey. And I call it the discipleship 10K because it's about 6 or 7 miles. And while they're talking, Jesus comes up and he hides their eyes so that they can't recognize him. And let me just say that, you know, it's important that we see him by the Spirit through your heart. And if you're one of those that's just looking for a physical representation, manifestation, I want to tell you, you can miss your whole life. Yeah, yeah. Because to Jesus, it was to our advantage, is what he told Thomas. It's to our advantage that we see him in the Spirit or we see him in the Word. And so he took this little couple and he comforted their heart and ministered to their heart all through the Word of God. He pointed out himself in the Word of God. That ought to speak to us. Wow. We can see him in the Word. And that's what we tell people. Seek the Lord in the Word. See him in the Word. But when Jesus had come to their, when they had come to their village, come to their place of dwelling, Jesus acted like he was going to go on by. It's in the Word. He acted like he was going to go on by. And they appealed to him and said, hey, come on in. It's late. It's dark. Come on in and be with us. And so I want to tell you, it's important to invite him. He's present. But it's important that you look at the situation of your life and you invite him to rule and reign in this house. You invite him to fellowship in this house. That's so important. And I want to tell you, he came in as a guest. But the guest became the host. Because the Bible says then he kind of took charge. And I want to tell you, that's what will happen. You invite the Lord in as a guest and give him full reign, and he'll be the host in your life. Let the resident become president. But I want to tell you what happened. He began to bless them. See, he prayed over them, he blessed them, he blessed the meal. And as he broke the bread, I want you to just think communion here. But as he broke the bread, I want to tell you something. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And so one of the things that at that moment, he disappeared. Now remember that. I'm coming back to that. He appeared and disappeared. They didn't recognize him, but he appeared and disappeared. He did this with the disciples over and over again. He would appear and disappear. There's a reason for that. Hang on. I'm coming to it. But I love what they said, this little discipleship couple, because in verse 32 it says, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" And they had revelation, and they saw Jesus in the Word. He wants to reveal himself to you. Okay? I met with a grown man recently, been raised in church all of his life. And he got honest and open with me, and I love it that people do that so I can see their hearts. But he said, "I'm just going to tell you." And he said, "My people don't know I believe this." He said, "I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't get it. I don't see what it's all about. What's the passion thing? What are they passionate about? What's the deal in worship and stuff? And why are people excited about the Bible?" He said, "I just don't get it." And I had the joy of telling him, "It's because you don't know him. But you can know him. But when you get to know him, there's a love life exchange." And I want to tell you, we know of people that have fallen in love and lived in one state and go to another state every weekend because of love. And so I want to tell you, the love factor makes a big difference. And I want to tell you, your eyes are open. And you see each other a whole lot better than anybody else sees you. Love can be blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. I've heard that. But I want to tell you, when you fall in love with Jesus, your eyes are open to see him as he is. And you fall more in love on a continual basis because there's levels of love. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, and so really and truly, he wants you to know him. He wants you to see him. He wants you to see his resurrection as your approval. This is proof that you're approved of, that you're accepted, and also that you have authority. So let's look at some scripture. Yes, we got plenty of time. Okay, 1 John 2:12. "I'm writing to you, little children, because for his name's sake, your sins are forgiven. You're pardoned through his name on account of confessing his name." We are forgiven. Somebody say amen. And there's not levels of forgiveness. It's total and complete. The forgiveness of God for your life is so complete that if you were to try to remind him of your sin, he'd say, "What sin?" Because he says, "I take them and throw them as far as the east is from the west." Amen. Where that is, I don't know. You don't know. But I want to tell you this. He says, "I take your sins, I throw them into the depths of the sea." And listen, he says, "I remember them no more." Part of the problem is other people can. I just want to say this to you, that the Bible says that those who know the Lord, that no condemnation is to come to them. God doesn't play the shame, blame game that humans do. And so I want to tell you, when you're experiencing condemnation and the shame, blame game, that's not God, that's the enemy. And, you know, the enemy can speak through those people we love, so you have to be on guard there. But I'm telling you, condemnation's not from God. I want to tell you, he loves you, he's forgiven you, and it's in the past, and it's done with. And I'm just going to say this because I got to move on. But any human that insists on bringing up your past and putting shame, blame, condemnation on you, I'm saying this to you. There's not one human that has a right to do something God refuses to do. I think that's for somebody. Okay, we are forgiven. He took our sins at the cross. He was raised without our sins. You see, that's what the Bible says, that he took our sins. But when he raised again, was risen from the dead, there were no sins. They're all gone. I'm telling you, that's great news. Somebody grab that. You want to shout a little bit, and that's all right. 2 Corinthians 1:18, the first part of it says this, as surely, somebody say surely. You know I say that, especially talking about God. As surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says, you got to repeat this. He's the promise keeper. He cannot lie. I'm telling you, his promises are true. And you know what? In the passport of resurrection, he loves you so much. It's got your name on them. It's not just for a few. It's for you. He's written your name on the promises. Now you need to hear the Holy Spirit say that to you, because he wants to make it personal. His name is, your name's written on those promises. Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. This is what Paul was saying. He knew him, but he wanted to know him better. You see, that's the heartbeat of somebody that's in love with Jesus. You want to know him better and better and better. I want to know Christ and experience, wait a minute, experience, wait a minute, experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And so I'm telling you, you can know Christ in a deeper, more personal way than you ever have in your life. There's continual levels of love for us to walk in and to experience, and he designed that. That's part of the joy of this journey. That's part of the joy of loving him is enjoying him. And getting to know him deeper and deeper and better and better. I want to tell you, the more you know him, the more you love him, the freer you get. That ought to be good news from somebody. But I'm here to announce something to you. That you know what? We can also, in this journey, I know we talk about heaven. Heaven's going to be a blast. But I'm talking about in this journey, he wants you to experience resurrection power. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, that's supernatural. That's for you. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, he wants to show you. But I want to tell you, he's a very practical God. And he'll meet you right where you are, and he'll minister resurrection power to you. His resurrection power is in you because the Holy Spirit's in you. We need to know how to receive it. Yeah. This is part of our discovery journey while you're still on earth, is to discover how to receive it, how to walk in it. How to experience it, how to flip the switch. Somebody ought to do a series on that. Flip the switch of faith. Oh, we just did. Okay, go back and have a listen. Luke 10:19. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Do you understand that? This is for believers. This is what the passport proves. What the crucifixion won and what the resurrection proves is that he has given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions. And I want to tell you, we got both of those in Texas, but he's not talking about just that. He's talking about the enemy in every form and every fashion. Yes. To crush him. And he says, nothing will injure you. I'm telling you, that speaks of divine protection that Psalm 91, I'm telling you, declares and we love. We have authority over the enemy. Our Jesus was victorious on the cross because he's victorious, we're victorious. He rose again from the dead, and the Bible says that we're in him and he's in us. If he rose again from the dead, resurrection's ours. The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies. If he's seated there, we're in him, he's in us. Then I want to tell you, we're in him in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean, authority? I'll tell you what else it means. It means that he's very present right now with you. He's very present. Very present. Listen to what he said in John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. What? I'm telling you, that's the power of his word. He reveals who he is, and he reveals what he does, and he reveals what he is to you. In the world, he said, you will have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. Do not believe like some dream believers out there that say, well, if you really love God, nothing bad will ever happen. No, we live in a fallen world. And Jesus proclaimed and declared that you will have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration. I bet there's a lot of believers here today who say, that's true. But be of good cheer, he said. You see, in spite of all of that, He says, we can be of good cheer. Do you see that? We can take courage. We can be confident. We can be certain. Listen to this. We can be undaunted. Why? Because we believe. We believe in the power of the resurrection. We believe in the finished works of Jesus on the cross. He says, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. Wow. Somebody give God a praise. John 15, 11 says this, I have told you these things. See, this is his words. This is why we tell you to center in. Hang on. Grab it. Make it you. Make the words of Jesus yours. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure. Somebody say overflow. I'm telling you, see, this is the evidence of a believer that's believing, is that you walk in joy. And it's not a joy because of happy happenings. No, we're talking about the disturbance that this world gives. You can still have peace and joy. Well, it's connected to him, because without being connected to him, it don't happen. We call it vine life. All right, if we're connected to him and experiencing vine life, we receive the life, okay, from the master himself. So I've told you these things that my joy and delight might be in you, that your joy and gladness may be full measure, complete and overflowing. We have free 24/7 access to his presence. Our guarantee to his peace, his joy, his hope, his faith, his provision. Do you wonder why that the angels, every time it seemed like, and Jesus himself, every time he showed up or the angels spoke to the unbelieving believers, they always said, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Why are you so sad? Why are you disturbed? Because I'm telling you, from their perspective, they see it all. Now, what we need to do from our perspective is to see his perspective and agree with him over what emotions or circumstances may say. Well, there's a whole lot in that verse. Okay, so we have, even if you've fallen in the mud, do we ever fall in the mud? Yeah. Even if you find yourself in a pit, do we ever fall? Yeah, and the pits have different names. And you know what? You may be in a pit because of your own stupidity. That happens, human. Okay, but I want to tell you, we have a great high priest. And this passport of resurrection guarantees you liberty that Jesus paid for on the cross. And I want to tell you what it promises and guarantees. Free access to him. Wow. Listen to Hebrews 13, 5. The latter part says this. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. And I'm just going to jump in here and say, even if you fail him, he doesn't quit on you. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Listen. Assuredly not. Somebody need to give an applause to the Lord. That's your God right there. That's Jesus right there. He's always present and available, even when you can't see him, even when you can't feel him. And I want to tell you what the liar will say. The enemy will come to you and say, God don't want you to talk to him. God don't want you to praise. God don't want you to give thanks. He's tired of you right now. You might as well not even go to church because he's mad. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus paid the price on the cross to satisfy the anger of God against sin. And I want to tell you, Jesus, God, is not mad. He's glad because of Jesus. Because he's glad towards you, we can be glad toward him. And so any thought, any emotion, any convincing of darkness to try to have you run away from him or to go away or to stay away. You know, I was raised in a performance-based home by military mindset. And I want to tell you something. When my dad got mad, you couldn't be glad till he got glad. And so you'd have to kind of sneak around like a puppy with the tail between the legs and keep looking and keep watching and tiptoeing like on glass, you know, tiptoeing around till you saw that he was finally happy. And when he was happy, you could be happy. It's not that way with God. I want to tell you, he's glad toward you. Doesn't that encourage you to run to him? You know what he wants? He wants you to run back to him. Because he wants to take you and remind you that you're forgiven. He wants to take you and remind you that he paid the price for your freedom. He paid the price for this truth to rule and reign in your life, that you're accepted amongst the beloved, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, that you're complete in Jesus, that you're loved by the Father. You have peace. You have his joy. You have his love. That's what he wants to remind you so you can continue to walk in fellowship with him. You say, well, I just don't feel qualified to do something for him. You know what? He's more interested in a walk than service. You know what he wants is a walk. He wants a walk with you. And we get this because of the cross and resurrection. We get free access. And he's promised to never let us go. He's always present, always available, even when you can't see him or feel him. That's your Lord right there. You already got it. Now, let me go back and just mention about the appearing and disappearing of Jesus. And I don't line up with a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists. I don't line up there. I'm more committed to the Word. But I want to tell you something. I respect those that do counseling, because especially the believers that do that kind of counseling, because they have to look past a lot of human stuff to see principles in the Bible. But thank God there's some out there. I'm so thankful for that. And so, but I want to tell you this. In child psychology, I just love this part. And they said that, and I saw Mama Lauren doing this with little Emmy yesterday. She was doing this. And little Emmy would just brighten up, you know. It was called peekaboo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to tell you, in child psychology, they said this is a game that mothers play in every culture around the world. That they'll play peekaboo with their baby. Yeah. And they brought out, and I see this is what Jesus did. Because he would appear and disappear. Appear, disappear. And he would let them know when he appeared that, you know what, I heard what you were saying when you couldn't see me, you know. Hey, Thomas, right? Yeah. Hands, wounds, come on. Get you some of this. Touch me. Yeah. And you know, he was letting them know the same way a mama does when she plays peekaboo. That even when you can't see mama, she's close. And Jesus is showing the disciples that even when you can't see me, I'm close. I'm present. You're used to seeing me in the physical. Let's see me in the spiritual. With your spiritual eyes. Let's see me in the Word. When you can't see me, when you can't feel me, when you feel like he's 1,000 miles away. He's not. Passport. Living proof, crucifixion paid, the veil was ripped. You have forever total free access. And it's not based on your report card. It's based on his. Don't you love him? Okay, I got plenty of time. I got over a minute left. So, let me tell you, there's a little qualifier in the passport. It's needful application. You can't just mentally acknowledge the resurrection like a lot of people around the world are doing today. You just can't mentally acknowledge it. You can't just verbally say amen. We know it's a fact. You must believe in your resurrection passport because it's to be lived. It's to be lived. In the believing and receiving, you go from the power of death to life. From death to life. In the believing. He's the great I am. He's the present day God. He's the all things are possible God. Let your focus be the now with him. Practice his presence now. Have a consciousness of him. Don't live in the past. Condemnation and regrets show up there. The blood covers the past. You can't park in the future. Because that's where fear and worry show up. Our future is in his keeping. But what he asks you to do is to focus on him right now. He's the great I am now. Now, Jesus raised a number of people from the dead because he's life. He is resurrection life. Little Jairus' daughter was probably, the way it looks in Scripture, she was only dead for about an hour. Doctors say it only takes a few minutes till the brains messed up. But I want to tell you, he showed up where she had been dead for about an hour. Daughter, arise. And she was raised from the dead. To the mockery of people around. You got to see Jesus and see what he's saying, what he wants to do, and not what people are mocking and making fun of. You got to believe. And I want to tell you, when it came to the little woman who lost probably a teenage son, is the way I got it figured, of Nain. You know what? He had died that day. He'd probably been dead for about a day. And I say that because the custom was to bury people the same day they died. Jewish custom. And so probably late that afternoon, he probably died that morning, late that afternoon, they're having a funeral service in the procession, and Jesus interrupted it. And I got asked one time on the way to a funeral when I was going to do a funeral. I took some of my staff with me and he said, well, how do you think Jesus would respond to this? I said, he would interrupt it. He interrupted funerals. And so I'm just telling you, this young teenage boy was raised from the dead right there in the funeral procession. Don't you know his mama rejoiced? Okay, and then comes Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now, the other ones, probably dead the day of. Lazarus, in Texas terms, we'd say he deader than dead. 4 days. Matter of fact, as I said, he stinketh by now. Don't go near. But I want to tell you, when they first sent word to Jesus, you know, I want to tell you, he loved Lazarus. And he loved the sisters, Mary and Martha. You know, he hung out at their house. You know, they were family to him. And when they sent word that Lazarus is dying, you need to come. Then I want to tell you, hey, he listened to the Father. And the Father said, wait 2 more days. Now, if he had listened to humans or even human emotion, he'd have took off running because Lazarus was on his quick return call list. But I want to tell you, he waited. You know why? Because he loved the Father more than he loved people. Now, I want to tell you something. He loves people. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes we get torn apart. We get torn and twisted every situation, every way. And the bottom line is because we love people more than we love God. But I want to tell you, when you love God, I want to tell you, his love's going to come through you to people. And I want to tell you, Jesus waited 2 more days. So when he arrived, you know, the sisters accused him of being late. If you'd have been here, if you'd have hurried up, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And so, you know what? Jesus told them, I'm the resurrection and the life. They said, oh, yeah, we know one day. No, he said, I am. I am. See, he wants you to hear you say that today. He's the I am. Yes, he rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, but he's the I am resurrection life for you today. He wants you to believe in the passport today. And so it goes like this. You know, he told him, he said, look, I'm the resurrection and the life. I told you, he's going to get back up. He had already told the disciples. You see, it wasn't that kind of thing. He told the disciples, he said, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, he'll be all right then. Let's not go back there. That was a bad place for us. They tried to kill us. He said, no, he's dead. Jesus knew he was dead. But he also heard from Father that he was going to raise him up. So it wasn't a surprise. You say, well, why did Jesus weep? Well, I want to tell you, before he wept, he was mad. If you look at the scripture, he had a holy mad going on. And I want to tell you why he was mad, why he had a holy mad, because death was never part of God's plan for man. Death came because of the curse of sin in the garden. And I want to tell you, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I tell you, there ought to be a holy anger in us when we see the enemy stealing, killing, and destroying people we love. But I want to tell you, he also had compassion. See, he wept. You say, well, why did he weep? Because Lazarus was dead? No, because he knew he was going to raise Lazarus up. He didn't weep for that. He wept because of the miseries of sin affecting the emotions of people he cared for. And I want to tell you, he cares about how the miseries of sin affect you. Because he paid for that to be overcome. And it was never his design for that to happen. But he is a God of restoration. And not only does he save us from the punishment of sin, but he saves us from the power of sin and that even includes the miseries that sin brings in our life. He will restore what the enemy has stolen. Somebody give God praise. That is resurrection life. That's resurrection life. And he did. If he had called out and said, come forth, then the whole graveyard would have come. Because he's the resurrection in life. He had to single it out. Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Now, I know you may, I don't know. See, I meditate on these things, and so you may have pictured, because the Bible says he was wrapped up from feet to head. And so I don't know if you figure him hopping. I really don't, because they rolled away the stone, and I think that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, I think he levitated right out of there. I think he come flying out, man. I see my granddaughters doing this, pretending they're flying. I think Lazarus came out levitating right out of there. Oh, come on, you know. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, go unwrap them, set them free. And I want to tell you, that's Jesus. Now, the same Jesus that raised the dead when he was alive, the same Jesus, and I got to finish, this is finished. He conquered death. He gave death a double knockout punch. And he is victorious over death. You say, well, why do we still die? Well, the Bible says that this will be the last enemy that will be laid at his feet. And so let me just say, Jesus conquered death. And because he conquered death, death has lost its sting against us. I did an illustration with teenagers many years ago where I took the stinger out of a wasp and brought it to a teen meeting and took the wasp out and carried it around, and man, I was getting some great reaction because they were fearing the stinger. But when I told them the stinger was gone, well, one of them old tough boys jumped up and grabbed it and said, let me do that. And the next thing you know, everybody was wanting to hold the wasp. Now listen, I shared that at a conference, and wasps all over the United States lost their stingers. In here. But I'm telling you, it's a good picture, because when Jesus conquered death, he took the sting away. Now, I'm going to announce to you, and you know this is true, dying is not fun. Dying can hurt, but death is a victory for us. And the Bible says we go from this life to that life. And so I want to tell you, death is good news for a believer. But I'm here to tell you something. He conquered death, and he paid the price. You got time for one story? One story, and I'm finished. Okay, this is it. And I'm sorry I didn't quite get to finish, and I'm not blaming you for not listening fast enough, but I got to tell you this story and we're done. There was a man that had a great relationship with his son. This was many years ago, and he loved his son, and he was well off, and he actually had hired a nanny to help raise the boy. You know, they would do that. Nannies would help raise the kids. And he had one son, and he helped raise the boy. And the boy died, though, at an early age. And as heartbreaking as this was, the little nanny, he told the nanny to stay around because he was getting old. And so the nanny went from taking care of the boy to taking care of him. And, you know, he just loved art, and he was buying paintings. And before he died, he had quite a collection of art that was very highly valued. And so when he died, of course, it was in his will that there be an auction. And so people from all over came to this auction because he had such a quiet collection. And they were wanting this treasure. And he required in his papers that he left that the first painting to be sold was a painting of his son. And so they put that painting up there, and the auctioneer said, let's start the bidding at $1,000, and nobody bid. He went down till he finally got down to about $50. And the little woman that was there that had raised the boy, and she loved the boy, and she loved me, and she said, I want it. And so he said, ma'am, this painting is yours for $50. And so everybody clapped because they knew it was about time to get on to the good stuff. And about that time, he took his gavel and he hit. And he said, the auction's over. And they said, wait, what do you mean? What about all this? He left in his will that whoever buys the painting of his son gets it all. Woo! Now, I want to tell you something. That's what Father said about his son Jesus. He said, I sent my best for you. Whatever you choose to do with my son is what I do with you. You accept my son, I accept you, because it's already paid for. You reject my son, I reject you. That's not his desire. But that's been settled in the high courts of eternity. And he said to the children of Israel, I put before you life and death. And he said, choose life. Choose life, because I got so much. I want you to know I got so much for us to enjoy together. Choose life. And that's our part today. When you accept Christ, you get the resurrection passport that guarantees that everything that Jesus paid for is got your name on it. It's your passport. It's your guarantee, the resurrection is, for everything in the kingdom is paid for by the blood of his son. And it's yours. Can you bow your heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just pray in the name, the mighty name of Jesus. We pray right now, Holy Spirit, come and open up the eyes of the hearts. Open the ears of the hearts to hear you and to see you. I just pray in the name of Jesus that we will recognize you as Savior and Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that great revelation will come to each heart and let them know that Jesus took their sin so that they could be forgiven to be free. And Lord, I pray right now that there be a simple receiving of you. And if you're here this morning or watching online through the media and you've never given your life to Christ, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I surrender. Lord Jesus, I confess that you're Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I believe that you have risen from the dead and you've taken all my sin and that you give to me everlasting life, abundant life, forever your kind of life. I receive of you that you're mine and I'm yours. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today.